for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2005 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Thursday afternoon, December the 29th, 2005. The speaker of the afternoon is Dr. William Knoll, speaking on The Children of Pride, Part 2.
We just come, Lord. Come. Touch us, Lord God. We bind up, Lord, any spirits of slumber, or sleep, or stupor, in the name of Jesus. Any death and dumb spirits that would come in and try to steal the word. Lord, we just loosen your spirits of wisdom and knowledge and understanding and counsel and might and fear of the Lord. Lord, we just ask for an outpouring of your spirit today, Lord, to open our understanding, Lord. Touch us, Lord. We just ask now in the name of Jesus. Amen? Now, we said that rejection brings two things. It brings fear and pride. It says, thus said it, thy birth and nativity in the land of Cana, thy father was an Amorite, thy mother was a Hittite. The word Canaanite means rejected or despised. The word Hittite means fear or terror. And the word Amorite means proud or lifted up. They were hill dwellers. And so, and both Paul and Solomon describes fear and pride as spirits. Now, we're going to look at pride first. And we analyze pride. We see it produces rebellion, stubbornness, bitterness, deception, self-deception, self-will, unteachable, and projection of blame. And we're going to analyze the six major groups. I don't think we'll get through all of them, but I want to look at rebellion, particularly, and stubbornness and the scoffer. And the interesting thing about it is that rebellion and stubbornness and bitterness all interrelate, and the scoffer is proud and stubborn. A scoffer, you can't teach him anything. He won't receive, reject. Now, let's open your Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 9. Now, Nehemiah comes right after Chronicles, after Ezra. Ezra comes right after Chronicles, right before Esther. Nehemiah chapter 9. And here Nehemiah is praying a prayer, confessing the sins of the fathers. And verse 16 says, but they and our fathers acted proudly or presumptuously. They hardened their neck and did not heed your commandments. Now, you remember I told you yesterday that a hardened neck or a stiff neck came from an agricultural term of an oxen who would not submit to the yoke. He didn't want to work. And so he stiffened his neck and lifted his head up so that you couldn't put a yoke on him. And so he says they acted stiff-necked and did not commit. They refused to obey. They were not mindful of your wonder that you did among them, but they hardened their neck, same word, and in their rebellion appointed a leader to return to bondage. And remember the spirit of bondage, we said that rebellion would bring you into bondage. Stubbornness would bring you into bondage. You know, these people were being stubborn and rebellious. Now, we look over at verse 29, we see something else. And testified against them that you might bring them back to your law. Yet they acted proudly and did not heed your commandments. Again, they were proud, stubborn, and rebellious. Sinned against your judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them. And they shrugged their shoulders, stiffened their necks, and would not hear. Now, stiffen their necks and shrug their shoulders are both words for stubborn. Both of those are both agricultural terms. The hard neck means the stiffening the neck, means lifting the head up, and shrugging the shoulder. If you did manage to get the yoke on the oxen, if you had somebody tall to put it over his head and get it down, then he would shrug his shoulders up like this, and it would slide off, and he wouldn't work. I talked to you all about Jack and John, the two mules that we had, one who'd work and one who wouldn't. And when he decided he didn't want to work, he stiffened his neck and pulled his head way up. And since he was a huge mule, Flemings was the only one to get a bridle on him. And Flemings was almost 6.5, 7 feet tall. And then when he did get a bridle on him, and they did get Jack in the trace chains to pull the wagon, Jack would just sort of move along just enough to tighten that trace chain up until Charlie, Flemings' son, would encourage him with the whip. And we have lots of Christians like that. They just do an absolute minimum, you know, just sort of moving along. And then they get encouraged a little bit. And they feel put upon. Because they'd much rather be back in the stall eating oats and drinking water and rolling the dust and whatever else mules do to satisfy their flesh, you know. And so those are results of pride. And so you've got stubbornness and rebellion, and then they want to return to bondage, and they won't hear. Something happens to their ears. They get a deaf and dumb demon. They don't hear. I mean, how many times have you said to somebody, I know you heard what I said, but I don't think you understand what I mean. You can talk to them, but it gets filtered through this demon. And they don't hear what you're saying to them. They hear words, but they don't get your drift. How many times have you talked to your child, and you say something, and he hears something else? Or you talk to your employees, and you tell them to do something, they hear it another way. Because that's the way they want to do it. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Now, so rebellion. Now, let's look at 1 Samuel 15. I'm going the wrong way. It's back towards the other way, to the front of the Bible here. 1 Samuel 15, verse 23. Here Samuel has been sent out by God to completely destroy the Amalekites. And he didn't do it. People didn't want to destroy the good stuff. God said, kill everything. He promised to destroy the Amalekites during the 400 years before. During the Exodus, the Amalekites hung back and they picked off the stragglers, the people who were tired and sick and they were straggling behind, and the Amalekites were picking off these groups. And God said that he was going to utterly destroy the Amalekites. Now here we have 400 years later, almost 500, he tells Saul, you go destroy the Amalekites. I want you to kill every one of them. Man, woman, child, animals, and destroy everything they have. Burn it up. I don't want you to take anything. Well, you know, that was a nice looking oxen. Look at that. You know, we ought to take these oxen and we ought to sacrifice them to God. And so they only destroyed the stuff that was worthless and they kept everything that looked nice. And then Saul went down to Carmel and erected a monument to himself. Then he went down to Gilgal to suffer, and Samuel is chasing after him. God is sending Samuel to go find him. And so when he finally catches up with him, he says, I have done the work of the Lord. He says, you have, but why come I hear these oxen blowing and these sheep bellowing? He said, the people wanted to save the best to sacrifice to the Lord our God. And Samuel chastises him again. He said, but look, I've done the will of God. And so But the people, look, verse 21, took of the plunder and the oxen, the best of the things that should have been utterly sacrificed to God, the Lord your God, in Gilgal. And so Samuel says, has God a greater delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of God? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Now, the marginal reading is divination. And actually, divination, is a better translation. The word actually means the diviner and his fee. And stubbornness is an iniquity as iniquity and idolatry. Because you rejected the word of God, he has rejected you from being king. Now, Saul felt that he had done the will of God. See, he had been deceived. And what the teaching here is that partial obedience is rebellion. You know, Paul, on his second missionary journey, wanted to go down to Ephesus. And I'm sure there were some people down in Ephesus that needed to be saved, since the gospel had never been taken down there. And you know, you believe that God always wants everybody to be saved. But the Spirit of Christ forbade him to go. Don't you go down there and preach the gospel to those people. And so Paul was obedient. Now, I can assure you, if Paul had been stubborn and said, those people need Jesus, and he had gone down there, he'd been in what we call a difficult missionary field. He wouldn't have gotten, the Holy Ghost wouldn't have gone with him, and he wouldn't have gotten many converts. I don't think he can get any converts without the Holy Spirit. So, but he went on up to Miletus, and then he went over to Thessalonica. And so, partial obedience. But look at this. Rebellion is as a sin of divination, and stubbornness is as iniquity. Iniquity is rebellion. So stubbornness is as rebellion and idolatry. So you got stubbornness and idolatry. And so here we have those: rebellion, stubbornness, bitterness. Now, bitterness is an interesting word, because it comes from the same root as rebellion, mara. And if you look them up in the concordance, you can translate them either rebellion or bitterness. And I say this to you, if you stay in rebellion, you will get bitter. And if you stay bitter, you will get rebellious. They go together. Now, divination, now, I meant to change this and put witchcraft under it, but I didn't get that far. So this divination is seeking knowledge apart from God, seeking the future, seeking knowledge. Magic is defined in Webster's New, it is Second College Dictionary, College Dictionary, second edition, printed in 1976, that I bought from Irma when I first came here. Magic is defined as the ability to control people or natural events by supernatural means. It is divided into three categories: the power groups, witchcraft and sorcery, and the knowledge group, divination. But they're all closely interrelated, and the words are frequently used interchangeably. Now, with witchcraft, you have a compact with evil spirits or demons, according to Webster's Dictionary. And with sorcery, you use drugs, potions, talisman, aluments. And with divination, you use different methods to find answers. It is a counterfeit for the word of knowledge. A diviner, the most common type of divination used today is the horoscope. Polls say that 50% of the people who read their daily newspaper read their horoscope. Any of y'all ever read your horoscope besides me? Huh? Anybody besides me? I hope you enjoyed it. You just cursed your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, and yourself. Okay. I just read it for fun. The devil's the ones having the fun. You're the one that got hooked. Now, does everybody read the horoscope get a demon? No, not necessarily. You know, you can walk across the interstate down there, and when it's busy, and you might be able to get across without being hit by a car. But it is risky business. Why chance it? And so, out of divination comes religious spirits. Now, who are the gods that control astrology? Here they are. The planets controlled by a lady named Ishtar, or Venus, the mother of all gods. She's the head knocker. She's sometimes called Celebi. She's got a lot of names. And the sun is called, controlled by Shuma, and the moon by Sun, and the weather. And these are the four sublunar elements by Adar. That's fire, air, water, and earth. And those are the four sublunar elements of Greek philosophy. Astra was the most powerful great mother goddess. She's known by Astrea, Aphrodite, Astra, Bride of Heaven, Astra, Diana, Celebi, Tinkai, Venus. That's just a few of them. There are about 15 or 20 of them. And each one of them is a little different, has a little different ministry. And sometimes you'll see several of them in a person. But her most recognized name is Jezebel. She was married to the chief god El, who was kindly retiring. El allowed his son Baal to assume the male control. But Ishtar, Jezebel, the mother goddess, controlled the godhead. And these other gods are all subject to her. You fool with the astrology, and you get Jezebel and her supporting spirits in your life. Okay. And that's just one type of divining. But that's the most popular type. Now, out of the divining comes just all kind of things. You get religious spirits up here. You get your legalistic or Pharisee spirits. You get your Gnostic spirits. You get your cults. You get spiritualism. Median, the fortune telling, the Eastern religions, the New Age, the ESP, the horoscope, and astrology. And I personally believe that all of these are Antichrist spirits. Now, the word Antichrist, anti in the Greek means counterfeit. It can mean counterfeit or it can mean against. And when you have a spirit that is, and so, and Christus means anointing. So when you have an antichrist spirit, you have a counterfeit anointing. And you get someone that's working in a Jezebel spirit, you have a counterfeit anointing. Now, if you've got a counterfeit anointing, it's against Jesus, against the anointing. It's against the anointing, which is against Jesus. Now, these are interesting. Now, let's look at where we find this in the Bible. Legalism. Well, let's turn to Galatians. Now, you know, Paul was upset when he wrote the Corinthian church. In the Corinthian church, you had a lot of you having drunkenness at the Lord's Supper, disrespect for the Lord's Supper. You were having sexual sin. You were having incest and sexual sin. You were having divisions and arguments, and they were saying, people were saying, I'm Paul, I was of Paul, and they were causing all kind of divisions, dividing up the church. They were having lawsuits and had incest. And Paul said to them, I'm so proud of you people. Y'all come behind in no gift. And he thanked God for them, and he blessed them, and he thanked God for them, and he prayed for them. When we got the Galatian church here, let's read what he says here. Paul, an apostle, not of men, through God, but through Jesus Christ, and the God of the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren who are with me to the churches of Galatia. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of the Father, the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. That's his standard greeting. And he starts immediately then. He doesn't say, hey, I thank God for you and you're doing so good. He does not. He says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you the grace of gospel to another, that some who trouble you don't want to pervert the gospel of Christ. He goes on to say, he's afraid he's wasted his time with them. And he comes over on, then he spends a good bit of time establishing his credentials as an apostle of Christ, instructed in the gospel by revelation from Jesus Christ. Not from men, but from Jesus Christ. And then he comes over to chapter 3:4, and look at verse 9. But after you've known God, or rather known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? Now, that may say principles or rudiments. I don't know. And under 3, he says, when you were children, you were in bondage to the elements of the world. Now, that word elements, if you have a revised standard edition, it says the elemental spirits. And the elemental spirits I've shown you, those with the astral powers believed to control the movement of the stars and the moon and the planets and the sun. And they all felt they rotated around the world and that they were supernatural powers that control the movement of these things. And they determined the destiny of men and events on this earth. And so they worshipped, everything had a spirit, an elemental spirit. And they worshipped the spirits, and they made sacrifices to them. Now, in Galatia, the chief goddess was named Celebi. And this refers to Celebi and her cohort of gods. And there was a particular type of heresy that arose there called Montanism. Was it Montanism? I can't remember. And in which they had ecstatic ecstasy and ecstatic prophetic and so forth. But the main thing is that they had syncretism. That meaning syncretism. What?
Syncretism.
Okay. Derek Prince calls that a polysyllabic word, many syllables, and you should try to teach in single-syllable words. But the first time I saw that word was when I studied botany in college, and there were certain fungi that had long tentacles that go out and got a lot of nucleuses in there and no sidewalls. They were all together. And so that came to mean that when you take a religion and you take a little over here and you fuse it in, a little over here, and they, you move the sidewalls out and you just put it all in one pot together. And you worship Celebi and you worship Baal. You see, Baal was supposed to give you a good harvest. And he controlled the weather and the rain. And so you had a little altar up there where you burned a little sacrifice to Baal. And over here you had Astra or Diana or Celebi, and that was the goddess of fertility. And if you made a sacrifice to her so that your cows and your sheep would always have offspring, and you would have and you pulled in all of these extra gods just to be safe. So the one who controls this is Celebi. And he says, you were in bondage to these things. And he said, now you're going back. You have gone back under the Jewish law. They had some Pharisees who came in and said that you have got to take the law, you got to keep the law, you got to be circumcised, and you got to do these other things. And with that came these other things that had been welded in over the years. And you wind up, and what is it called? It causes extreme perfectionism and legalism. Now, folks, ain't anybody in this room can keep the law perfectly all the time. Jesus Christ was the only person who was ever able to keep the law. I can take that Bible and hammer you to death with it. But we got grace. And we can lean on Jesus Christ. And in His strength, we can keep the law. I should go back and say you can't keep the law in your own strength. But in His strength, you can walk away from sin. Because all the law is summed up in that you shall love your neighbor as yourself and love God. And so with this, you get perfectionism, bitterness, and anger, and legalism, and deception. The legal, that brings rebellion, bitter, angry. And you get the idea that God is legalistic and angry and unforgiving. Jerry said today that if you were raised in a family that was extremely legalistic, you got the idea that God was harsh, cruel, unbending, unmerciful, and unforgiving. That atmosphere brings rebellion and bitterness. Where there is no grace, there's rebellion and bitterness. And so it comes with Jezebel. And you always see Jezebel in a legalistic situation because she's controlling by witchcraft. The next one, let's look at Colossians. Philippians, Colossians. Now, here Paul is writing a letter to a church that he's never met. But apparently the church elders have sent to him, asking him, because they've got some people come in and they're teaching them that they needed to add something, that Jesus wasn't really a man, that Jesus was a spirit. Sort of a phantom, and when he walked across the ground, he didn't leave any footprints. And that Jesus was there, but then there were other things too. And you had to keep times and festivals, and there were certain intermediaries. Now, Gnosticism, the Gnostics felt that spirit was good, matter was evil. In other words, your body was evil, spirit was good. That God was all spirit, all good. But God being so good, He couldn't touch evil matter. So, to create the world, He couldn't touch this evil matter. So He created an immolation out of Himself. Something out here that was part of God and part of something else. They weren't sure what else. And then this immolation put out an immolation that was less God and more something else. And about 25 immolations out, you've got something that has very little God in it, all something else, and it is ignorant of and possibly hostile to God. Now, to get back to God requires special knowledge and special learning. And you couldn't work and learn all the techniques to get back to God because you didn't know how to keep all the rules. And there were certain secret societies, there were secret organizations you had to join and learn the passwords, and then you could move up the ladder, and you had to climb past all these 25 emulations to get up to God. Well, an ordinary person couldn't do that, so you wound up with a elite priesthood that you went to for them to go to God for you. The Hebrews were a lot like this in ancient Hebrew. You remember that Jesus said that it was hard for a rich man to go through the eye of a needle? And his apostles looked at him and said, then who can get saved? Because only the rich man got time to go down to the synagogue, sitting there all day reading and memorizing all these rules. The rest of us working 12 hours a day, 6 days a week. And we don't have time to learn all them 500 rules and them 60 volumes of the Talmud, that are the Babylonian Talmud, of exactly what we can do. Not since they defined everything. They said you do no work on the Sabbath. Well, they wrote two volumes on what you do on the Sabbath, defining what work was. And if it was a tailor, you couldn't carry a needle and thread sucking your coat over Sunday. Over the Sabbath day, which was the seventh day. And you couldn't carry that. How much could you carry if you were the weight of two pressed figs? How could you walk about a half mile, or maybe a little bit better than a half mile. A Sabbath day walk was less than a mile. And on and on and on and on and on it went. And, you know, if y'all want to keep the law, I'll tell all of you in trouble right now. You carry that heavy Bible around on Sunday, and it weighs more than a fig. And the price for breaking the Sabbath was stoning. Okay. So these Gnostics, now the Gnostics said that if God was good and flesh was evil, then you had to treat your body with rigid asceticism. Fasting, denial of the body, beating your body to bring it under control. He was evil. You had to beat it to get it under control, and you had to live a rigid self-denial life. But the contrary teaching was also present. If the body was evil, it didn't matter what you do, so it gave you a license for any kind of sin, depending on which Gnostic teacher was teaching you. Well, let's look here at Colossians chapter 3, and in Colossians he teaches the centrality and the completeness of Jesus Christ, that you didn't need any, you were complete in him. It is a great exposition on the centrality of Jesus Christ, and that you are complete in him, and that God used him to create the world, that he utterly defeated the Satan. Look what it says here in chapter 2, verse 14. Speaking of Jesus, having wiped out the handwritings of the requirements against us, which was contrary to us, he's taken it out of the way and nailed it to the cross, the written law. Having disarmed principalities and powers. Now you remember, in Ephesians chapter 6, it says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Okay? A principality is a prince in the area of his authority. Power is his authority. Against the spiritual rulers of darkness of this world and a wicked host in the heavenly. And the word host, I think, is added by the translators. If I remember correctly, that's in italics. Well, Paul gives the order of the creation in chapter 1, verse 16. He says, by him all things were created on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, principalities or powers. And all things were created. So you've got, I think this is in order. They're the thrones first, then the dominions, and then their principalities. And the rebellion occurred on the principality level. And so he disarmed these principalities, making a triumph over them. Made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Now that is an interesting, that word triumph there is the same word used when a Roman general conquered, the conquering hero, and he came back to Rome. He was granted a triumph. And he rode through the city in a special chariot drawn by, I think, three white horses. And in him, in his chariot, he had his family with him. And behind his chariot, walking in chain, stripped naked, were all the kings and powers that he had captured, the enemies of Rome. And they were walking stripped naked, bent over, with a hook in their nose, bent over, walking behind the chariot. That was a triumph, and that's the word he used. I meditated on that, and I had vision. And I saw in paradise, in Sheol, Abraham's bosom, Jesus was riding in a chariot drawn by three white horses, and the righteous dead were on either side, honoring him, praising him, and behind him in that chariot, walking stripped naked with the devil and all his evil angels in chains, defeated, stripped of their armor. And I said, "Where am I, Lord?" He said, "What are you?" I said, "I'm a..." He said, "Are you family?" Said, "Yes, sir, I am family." He said, "You're in a chariot." He said, "Whenever you really get hard-pressed, look behind you, and you'll see him walking there in chains." Now, Jesus has won the victory, but you've got to claim it. The devil has been defeated, but you've got to appropriate the victory. Derek Prince says that he had a friend who inherited a fortune, and they read the will, and there were some family members who didn't like the will, and they hired a crooked lawyer, and they contested the will, or a skillful lawyer. Derek said crooked, but a skillful man who did his job, what he was hired to do. And they protested in court, and he used every crooked, sneaky trick, legal trick in the world to tie that money. If he tied it up for 14 years, that money was legally theirs the minute that will was read. But it was 14 years before they came into the inheritance, as they had to fight for it. To be free of the enemy is your inheritance. It's legally yours the day you were saved. But you've got to walk it out. Walk it out in the flesh. You got to fight for it. You got a war. You're engaged in a war, and you got to fight for it. But know who you are and what your authority is. And know that the devil is a legalist, and he will use every legal trick in the world to keep you from claiming your inheritance. And if you don't get the victory right then, just press on and say, "God, why? Show me." Because you're going to have to crucify the flesh. You see, Snoopy, in one of her favorite comics, I'll always remember Snoopy said, "We have met the enemy, and they is us." And your tremendous enemy is your own soul, your flesh. You have to crucify the flesh. Because the flesh will let him back in. You can cast him out. But if you follow the flesh, you'll let him back in. And he wants back in. Now, look at... We're not going to get very far, are we? Let's look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 10. No, that's not it. I'm sorry. It's chapter 2, verse 20. Well, we'll go back up to verse 8 first. Beware, first chapter 2, verse 8, Colossians. Beware lest anyone cheat. Now, if you've got a large King James Bible, that literally means to plunder you or take you captive. Through philosophy or empty deceit, according to traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the word, not according to Christ. That's the same word we talked about in Galatians. That refers back to Jezebel and her bunch. And so what do you see in the Gnostic church? It's full of false works, works of the flesh. Now let's see him. Look at chapter 2, verse 23. Oh, we'll start reading in chapter 20, verse 20. Therefore, if you died to Christ from the basic principles of the world, same word there, rudiments, why should, as through living in the world, do you subject yourself to regulations, do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, concern things concerning which perish with the using according to the commandments of men and doctrines of men? These things have the appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility, neglect of the body, but are of no value against indulgence of the flesh. And so these things, and so what do you see? You see lots of works of the flesh. Where are the works of the flesh? Let's go back over here to Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outburst of wrath, self-indignation, dissensions, heresy, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelry, and the like. Now, you know they're demons by those names. We cast out demons all the time by those names. What does that mean? That means as you yield in your flesh, you'll get a demon by that name. As you yield to selfishness or self-centeredness, what you want for me, myself, and mine, you can get a demon. You won't see that in the Word. Let's go to James chapter 3. And keep your finger in Colossians, and let's go over to James chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 14. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual. Now, that word sensual is psychēish. Now, psyche, the psyche means the soul in Greek. Psyche is Latin. Psyche is Greek. Therefore, a psychiatrist is a doctor of the soul, and a psychologist is studies the science of the soul. Psyche. But the Greek is psyche. And you have to pardon me, and somebody else may pronounce it differently. I'm not a good linguist. What do you have? So it is earthly, soulish, demonic. Self-seeking, bitter envy, self-seeking, a selfish ambition. And those fuel the works of the flesh. And all that stuff doesn't help against the flesh, the works of the flesh. Only being led by the Spirit of God gives you strength to stand against the works of the flesh. You see false gods, false gifts. You see a lot of people prophesying out of a spirit of Jezebel. You can even see false healings, false words of knowledge, false prophecies, and so forth. And then you see bondage to leadership. That's mark of Jezebel. She puts people in bondage and controls them by witchcraft. And then you see the cults. You see the Mormons, the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Unity. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. For I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may put up with it. Well, now the New Revised Standard says if you receive a spirit different from the one that you first received, in other words, you're getting a different spirit, not the Holy Spirit, and a different Jesus. Well, the Mormons have a different Jesus. Their Jesus is a younger brother of Lucifer. You know, the devil is Jesus' older brother, according to the Mormons. That's Mormon theology. They don't tell you that when they come to your door. They tell you they're Christians. 30 years ago, they denied absolutely they had anything to do with it. They did not claim to be Christians, but now they're trying to pass themselves off as a branch of Christianity like the Methodists or the Baptists. They believe that Jesus was born on some other planet. They use the King James Bible as correctly translated. They have their own translation. Cults, and there's Jehovah's Witnesses. Now, these people will tell you they're Christian, and they are witness to Jehovah. You know that Jehovah is not really a Hebrew word? Did y'all know that? There's a sacred tetragram, which has four letters, the consonants. The vowels are not written down in Hebrew. And this word was so sacred, it was only repeated by the high priest once a year when he went into the Holy of Holies. It was never written down. Only the consonants were written down. After they were carried away into Babylon, came back, they forgot how to pronounce it. But to remind themselves it was God, they wrote down the consonants for a generic word for God, Anani. They wrote those consonants in there. And when the translators of the King James Bible saw those consonants and looked at that word, and they transposed it and came up with the word Jehovah. Now, modern scholars believe it's pronounced Yahweh, but that's their best guess. I personally call him Father because that's what he says. And I get real upset. It bothers me to hear somebody. I remember when I was in the Catholic charismatic community and group, and one of the nuns talking to him and she just say Yahweh this and Yahweh that and Yahweh Yahweh, you know you. And I thought, huh. And the thing that bothered me was, let me y'all call your father by his first name. How many of you ever call your mother by her first name? I call my father by his first name, I'd be in that street over somewhere, you know. I mean, you know, I really had too much respect for my father to call him by his first name. I still don't call him by his first name. He's been gone for 40 years. And I never call my mother by her first name. I thought it was a terrible sign of disrespect. And that bothers me anyway. That's an aside. And so you got the Jehovah's Witnesses. And then you got the Unity. Well, the Jehovah's Witnesses believe that Jesus was Michael the Archangel. And if you ever want to, if a Jehovah's Witness wants to argue with you, they'll always want to argue about the blood. The fact that you aren't supposed to eat or drink or to have a blood transfusion. And I agree with them. I don't think it'll cause you to go to Hades if you have a blood transfusion. They do. They don't believe in Hades either, but they believe it does something else, and you don't come through the tribulation through Armageddon. They don't believe in Hades. They have some strange beliefs. But they believe that you're eternally damned if you have a blood transfusion or if you eat or drink blood. Well, I don't think you ought to eat or drink blood because the Bible is very fat. And you can find it in Acts 15 and Acts 26, which says you do not eat blood. He places it on the same level with idolatry, with fornication. And so I don't argue with my blood. I say, yeah, I think you're right. I don't think you ought to do that. I don't think it damns you eternally, but I don't think you should do that. But what about this business about Jesus being Michael the Archangel? Where is that in the Bible? And they will try to change the subject. The one verse they can go to is in Revelation, which said Michael and his angels fought, and the devil and his angels fought. And then about five verses down, he said, but they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. See, there's the blood of the Lamb. That's Jesus. See, that's Michael up there. I said, well, there's a lot happens between then. But that's the only connection they can make. But I wouldn't let them have a Bible study in my home. Unity, they believe Jesus was a good man, not God. Christian Science, they don't believe in the divinity of Jesus Christ or the atonement of his blood for your sins. They are basically Hindus, and there are many others. And then you got spiritualism. And in this, you got all these doors to the spirit world. Remember, there are many doors to the spirit world, but there is only one door that leads to the true God, through Jesus Christ. And you can open the door spiritually with the Ouija board. Did you know that Buddhist monks pray in tongues? Just because somebody prays in tongues doesn't mean it's the Holy Spirit. A lot of people seem to think that. That's not true. Buddhist monks pray in tongues. It's a demonic tongue. If you listen to it, it'll make your skin crawl. And so, here we've got the medium. Well, what is a median? A median is someone that has a familiar spirit. Well, what is a familiar spirit? A familiar spirit is a spirit that you know, that you're familiar with, through which you can manifest supernatural power. Now, all of you have a familiar spirit. His name is the Holy Spirit. And through the gifts of the Spirit, you can manifest supernatural power. But there are counterfeits out there, substitutes. And a Median has a substitute, a counterfeit of the Holy Spirit. And they allow that Spirit to come into them and speak through them. And you get some poor soul who's lost their daughter or lost their husband, and they're weeping and they're sorrowful. And they go into this Median and they hold a seance. And this familiar spirit within the Median will contact the familiar spirits around the person who's come and will answer, find out things about the person who died, and will feed that information back through the Median, will speak it out through the Median. In some cases, a familiar spirit from a family familiar spirit will come in, and they will have the voice. They will have the knowledge, the voice. It sounds like them. Their voice inflection is correct. This person, this spirit, has watched that dead person all their life. And since spirits don't die, they're just there. And they watch the grandpa and great-grandpa and so forth. And they're assigned to this family. And I can show you in Scripture where they're assigned. And they give information. And it draws in the gullible and the hurting. And it gets them into bondage. I know people they're almost to the point they don't wear clothes without calling their Median or calling their spiritualist. And this lady, you know, she had a very successful business, and she was a spiritualist, and she was going into a new building, and she called her spiritualist, and she told her that she had to move between midnight and 8 a.m. And so she hired 3 moving companies, and they came at midnight, and they moved everything between midnight and 6 a.m. Got it moved. She had to do it. Just that time. To be successful. She eventually lost the business. That's a Median, a fortune teller. Well, you got palmistry. They read the palms on your hand. They look at your hand, and they look at the general outline of your hand, and they look for calluses and so forth, and then they look at the lines in it, and each one of those have names. But it's palmistry, it's palm reading, and they read the various lines, and they look at your hand, And while they're looking at your hand, those familiar spirits are talking. And then they feed this information to the fortune teller. And she will tell you things about yourself. Tell you how old you are, where you were born, what you do for a living, things that have happened to you. And all this builds credibility. And then they will give you a prediction for the future. And if you accept that edict, that's Satan's edict for your life, then the spirit world will move to bring that to pass. Any of y'all have been to a fortune teller besides me? I hope you enjoyed it. You cursed your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, yourself. Okay, fortune telling. And there's irisology. You know, that's when you go to somebody and they look at your iris, the colored portion of your eye, and they tell you what kind of diseases you've got, and tell you about your past, and tell you about your character. Same thing. You get the people that's reflexology. And that's when they mash on the bottom of your foot. And they look for the medians to balance the yin and the yang in your body to bring you into good health. And tell you about your past. And then there's the card layers. I used to be the card layer. I used to lay the tarot cards. The tea leaves. You look at the tea leaves, the pattern the leaves make, and that tells you things. And there are many others. I've got a list this long of various things. It's in the Bible. Let's look at Ezekiel. Lord, where is it? Ezekiel 13, I think, or 16, or 20. I think it's in 20. 21. Ezekiel 20:21, appoint a road for the sword to go to Rahab of the Ammonites and to Judah into the fortified Jerusalem. Here God is saying what the king of Babylon is going to do. For the king of Babylon stands at the parting of the road, a fork of two roads, to use divination. He shakes the arrows. He consults the image. He looks at the lover. Okay? He shakes the arrows. He got a bunch of fiddlesticks. He shakes and he throws that on the ground. And the pattern they make, the diviner reads what he should do. He looks at the liver. They take an animal, and they hold straight it out by the four legs. They cut it open and cut the liver out while he's still alive, and then he looks at the liver. And it's called hepatology. He's got a name, and he's got all the different lines and so forth, and that tells him what he should do. Or he consults his idols. In his right hand is a divination for Jerusalem, to set up the battering rams, to call for slaughter. He lifts up his voice and shouting. And he goes ahead to Jerusalem and he defeats them. Divination in the Bible. Those people, everyone, every highly educated person had his powerful, highly educated person had his personal astrologer. Do you know perfected astrology that we use today? Aristotle and Plato. They assigned the science of physics to it. Great philosophers. Very intelligent men. And so there's lots of different types of fortune telling. Eastern religions, we'll come back to that in a minute. ESP, that's clairvoyance, precognition, and telepathy. Well, clairvoyance is when you see visions. And there are different types. You see visions of the past, visions of something called second sight also, of something that's happening at a distance, or visions of something going to happen in the future. You know, we have clairvoyance that they find this person murdered, and the clairvoyant has a vision of it, and he goes to, it's demonic. The clairvoyant, somebody's child is lost, and they'll bring the clairvoyant the doll or some personal item of the child, and they will touch it. It's called psychometry, and they will touch him, and that gives the clairvoyant the vision of where this child is, and so forth and so forth. And there is power there. If it wasn't, nobody would do it. Telepathy, precognition, that is knowing something's going to happen before it does. About 10 years ago, or 15 years ago, one of the camp meetings, a man came to the camp meeting and asked Glenn, he's a friend of Glenn's, if he would send a team over to pray for one of his nephews. And he was a corner poet. This man was a dope addict. He was an heir to a sizable fortune in Hot Springs, and he was a dope addict. And this man was a court-appointed conservator for this person. And he just gotten out of the hospital and said, would you please come over and pray for him? Well, two of us went over, and he didn't want prayer. You know, but he consented because his conservator, who was his guardian, legal guardian who could put him back in the hospital, insisted on it, so he submitted to us praying for him. And Irma used to call a broomstick experience, like praying for the broomstick or praying for that chair there, you know. Not much reaction. And we got ready to leave. He said, Alice, you're wanted on the phone. The phone rings. The conservator picks it up. Said, Alice, it's for you. He knew 30 seconds before that phone rang, it was going to ring and it would be for Alice. That's precognition. And this man with me said, man, that is a demonstration of precognition. I said, yep. And we had bound black magic. But God didn't give us the authority to bind that demon. Telepathy, that is thought transference. Now, if you're really into witchcraft, you can transfer thoughts over distance. You don't need phone lines. It's done by demons. I can't even read that. That's hypnosis. You get hypnotized, you receive an evil spirit. You submit to someone that has a familiar spirit that can put you into a trance, which supernatural things are possible. You know, the stage actor will put you into a trance and put you between these two chairs, your head here and your heels here, and he'll be 200 pounds, he'll sit on you. and you just like a rigid steel beam. That's supernatural. And the more times he hypnotizes you, the more power he has on you to the point that he can just think about you and you'll come trotting over to him. It's a soul tie. That's a soul tie. But hypnosis, if you've been hypnotized, you pick up a familiar spirit. Now let's go back up to Eastern religions. You've got Taoism, which is in China, Hinduism, which is in India, and Buddhism, which is in China and India and Indonesia. And there are others. And you have Eastern religion, you have Hinduism, Buddhism, and Taoism. And all of these believe in reincarnation. Taoism is not quite as pronounced, but the basic belief is the same. And flowing out of these, out of Hinduism, you have transcendental meditation. And you have yoga flowing out of it and Buddhism. And out of the yoga, you have relaxation exercises, very common in health centers, health clubs, lamas. The pain relief is from hatha yoga. Hatha yoga is a pain relief mechanism. I'll always remember the old Buddhist holy man that I saw when I was in college. I went to, and he took a knife and actually cut his scalp in four or five places. Had blood running down. Took burning brands and stuck into them. Stood there while he was chanting while he did this. No sign of pain. And he pulled them out and he did this. And they were healed. Now, it was impressive. I was into hypnotism then. I was into self-hypnosis. I was into meditation and a number of other things. I was working and trying to improve my ability to learn. And they told me that I could improve my memory retention by self-hypnosis. And that's how I got into it. And you know, when I tried to come to God, come into the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I had a lot of things I was wrong with. But the thing that stood between me and God was this. And the night that I pulled away from that, the demons came to call. Lamas, you're taught to relax and to meditate on the points and so forth, and to breathe and do the breathing exercises. And sit with a posture to open yourself and to clear your mind. Does everybody who takes Lamas get a demon? No. Everybody who jaywalks across the street don't get hit, but it is dangerous business. There's nothing wrong with learning about Lamas. There's a lot of good stuff in Lamas. But the danger, meditating and the passive mind and the breathing exercises. Martial arts came out of Taoism and was picked up by Buddhism. Acupuncture came out of Taoism. All these two believe in balancing the flow of the good and bad flows, the yin and the yang, and the Buddhism, I can't pronounce those two. And you balance it and draw in the chi, the good power in the air around you. And that's the reason for the deep breathing exercises and the meditation and to straighten out, to get all of those, get the flow of the good and the bad balanced out in your life, and then draw in this prana or chi in the air around you to empower you and heal your body and lift you into another spiritual realm. And then there in the Lamas manual, one of them I read said, encourage visualization. Visualize yourself in a room. Make your own room. Whatever you want. A place of relaxation. A place of... Oh, God, I don't have the words. She's just beautiful words. But, you know, you want to read about that sort of thing? Get Joanna Michelson's book on the beautiful side of evil. And she'll talk to you about Sylvan mind control that she was in. Same thing. And that's Eastern religions. I can talk a long time, but they all have Jezebel. In Hinduism, she is called the Kundalini spirit, whose name is Savana. And she's a serpent. And you let her in, and she'll bring in all kind of nice spirits down into your back. And you will get horrible back pain. And it comes in from pride and rebellion. And you get, you know, all these people got real bad back pain, and they're in pain, and they go to the doctor, and the doctor x-rays, he can't find anything in the world wrong with them. And they're doing all these MRIs and all this stuff, and they say, well, look at that, that's a little bulge right here. Now, maybe there might be something. Yeah, and they do another procedure, you know, yeah, look at that. And these people are hurting. I mean, the pain is real. I can introduce you to some people, and not, well, I don't see anybody in the room right now. But one lady that came in, she walked in with a cane. Her sister told me they were operating on her. I said, for God's sake, don't you let them cut her. You bring her back down here, she got demons. She came in on a cane, and she walked out, and she showed me a list of the medicine. It was this long. I didn't see how she could walk around and be awake on that much. She was taking 60 milligrams of morphine every 4 hours. But she had worked up a tolerance to it, but she was taking that and all sorts of other medications to overcome the side effects of the morphine and the other things they were giving her. And she walks around today, no pain at all, no problems, no medication. She had bad headaches. Savannah gives you real bad headaches right behind your eyes. You got, they call migraine headaches, right behind your eyes. See, that's the third eye is right there. That's the sixth chunk of the third eye. And when she gets up to the seventh chunker and meets her husband, Silver, then you have a period of what is known as Nirvana, of great bliss. Ah, it can be either transitory or it can be permanent. And the object is to come into Nirvana where it is permanent and everlasting, and you're absorbed into the cosmic mist, and you are released from the wheel of life that you have gone around and around, paying for past bad karma in past life, always trying but never quite being good enough. The places where this predominates are the poorest countries in the world. Hallelujah. That's Eastern religion. But it is coming back. It has hit this country with a storm because people are looking for supernatural power. They're looking for spiritual power. Hinduism, Buddhism shed the requirements of self-control and self-sacrifice to fit into the modern, materialistic Western culture. They shed that to fit in over him. But it's still the same spirits. And Jezebel. And so you got spiritualism. And then you see it gets into bondage and idolatry and whoredom. And you get all these curses and all these sins and curses and learning disabilities and compulsive actions and a perverse spirit, and sexual sin. You get in bondage, food, sex, drugs, and you get in sexual sin. You get gluttony, anorexia, bulimia, just all sorts of things. And that's from divination. Well, let me show you what the other half looks like. And we'll talk about this some other time, perhaps. This is also the other leg of pride. Remember we said, we're talking about idolatry. I showed you the connection between rebellion and idolatry, and stubbornness and idolatry. And idolatry and whoredom go together. Look at Hosea. We're in Ezekiel, is the last place we went. You come on over past Daniel to Hosea, chapter 4, and I'll give you one verse, and then we will just sort of whet your appetite here a little bit. Look at Hosea chapter 4, verse 11. Pride, rebellion, idolatry, and idolatry, whore and whoredom. Hosea chapter 4, verse 11. Whoredom, wine, and new wine take away the heart. The New King James says enslave the heart. What does the NIV say? takes away the understanding. The heart, that means the intellect, the will, the emotions, and the conscience. It's called libbi, which is a soul with the conscience attached. And so you lose, and so whoredom, if you look up that word, it means prostitution, sexual sin, and idolatry. My people ask counsel of their wooden idols. Their staff or divination rod informs them, for a spirit of whoredom has caused them to stray. They played the harlot or the whore against their God, or gone a whoring from under their God. And he goes on to talk about the penalty for it. But idolatry, these are all listed in Deuteronomy 28. Infirmity, spirits, poverty, broken families, loss of children, insanity, no communication with God, and loss of soul. The loss of soul will give you dyslexia, hyperactivity, compulsive thoughts and actions. Whoredom will give you adultery, fornication, alcoholism. That wine, that word translated wine, really means intoxication. That was the only kind of drug they had then, was alcohol. And so I use it to include all drugs. And loss of soul, learning disorders, amnesia, attention deficit disorders, and it gives you sexual sin, all the various sexual sins. And we won't talk about those right now. I can talk on for several hours. This comes from pride. I just wanted to show you pride's other face. You see why pride leads to a fall and a haughty spirit to destruction. If, as Jerry said, hi Carla, good to see you. If you were raised in a family that was extremely legalistic, you need to forgive your parents. They're not bad people. They were doing the best they knew how, raising you the way they were raised. And you just need to forgive them and pray for them. If they're alive, you need to honor them, pray for them and honor them, and break the curse on it, on your children, and lean on Jesus Christ. Break all evil soul ties and honor them and pray blessings on them. Because as you pray blessings on them, the blessings will come back on you too. David said, as for me, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayers returned into my own bosom. When he was praying for someone who had hurt him. You pray for those people earnestly. And when things come to pass, to mind, that you remember that you were hurt real bad, you just say, I forgive. I break the evil soul ties to that so that it will come back no more. I bind the historical demon. You see, there's a historical demon. There's a demon who remembers history and will bring it up to you. Now, some people teach this as healing of the memories. I'm not so sure it's scriptural to have you visualize all these bad things and visualize Jesus coming in and loving you and asking God to heal all this and have Jesus come in and love you and so forth. That is not scriptural, and I think that invites demons into you. But there's a historical demon that replays hurts and brings them up and suggests to you in the first person, I'm going to get even for that. That's what the demon says. I'm going to get even. And you think that's what you're thinking. And he's trying to put you into a mindset. That's the reason he says take every captive thought. Every thought captive. Every captive. Every. Every thought captive in 2 Corinthians 10:4. If you were raised in a family that weren't Christians, in a cult, and you pray for your relatives in the cult and ask God to touch them, and you renounce all of that and break the curses on you and your children forever. If you were raised in a family where you were controlled all the time by a Jezebel spirit has come down through the family and put you under rigid control and domination. Witchcraft. Break those witchcraft ties, those evil ties, and release that person and release yourself from it and release all foreign soul and foreign soul ties, evil soul ties. And then you pray blessings in the name of Jesus. Would y'all all stand up a little bit and let's praise God? And you just need to stand up and praise God. Now, y'all been sitting for an hour and 45 minutes, an hour and a half. Praise God. Lord, I was going to get through all of that today. Praise the Lord. And I didn't bring the right notebook, so I'm teaching out of memory and rather than out of my notes. So I'm sure I left out some things because I can't possibly remember all those verses. Not in the natural, Lord, you have to give it to me. Say, Lord Jesus, I always start mass deliverance with the confession of faith, with the statement of the gospel, because the Holy Spirit honors the gospel. And so we state the gospel. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the Son of God. I believe Jesus Christ of Nazareth is the Son of God. He was manifested in the flesh. He died on the cross for my sin. Was raised from the dead for my justification. Ascended into the heavens. Sits on the right hand of the Father. Ever to make intercession for me. God is my Father. Jesus is my big brother. God has given me a new family. He's made me accepted in the beloved. I am not a rejected child. I'm a child of God. I have been accepted. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I repent of the sins of my ancestors and my sin in the name of Jesus. I place it under the blood of Jesus and I break the curses according to Galatians 3:13. In the name of Jesus. I break all evil soul ties to the past in the name of Jesus. I release all those people in the name of Jesus to Jesus Christ. I loose myself from any evil soul ties or bonds in the name of Jesus. I call back my soul. And release any foreign soul in me. In the name of Jesus. Lord Jesus, I forgive anyone who's ever hurt me, abused me, used me, controlled me in any way, contrary to the will of God. I forgive them. And I break any ungodly soul ties to them and release them to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I repent of my family's involvement and my involvement in the Ouija boards or any other occult or the horoscopes in the name of Jesus. I repent. And I bind, and I break the curses, and I bind any familiar spirits that I have picked up as a result of this, or a result of my ancestors' sins. And I command them to leave me now. For it is written in Joel 2:32, anyone calls upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Lord, I confess that in the past I have been proud, stubborn, stiff-necked. I confess this is sin. I ask forgiveness and the curse be broken on me. and my children forever. Deliver me, Lord, from the children of pride. Break pride, Lord. Break it, Lord. You said in your word you'd break its power. Break it, Lord, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Somebody sit down now. Put both feet on the floor. In the name of Jesus, I bind and I break the power of the children of pride. In the name of Jesus. I isolate the king of the children of pride, Leviathan, so he can give power to none of his children. I isolate him from all of his children. He cannot communicate with them. He can't draw power from them or give power to them. In the name of Jesus. By the authority of the living word. Now I bind rebellion in the name of Jesus Christ. All rebellion. I break your power in the name of Jesus Christ. All rebellion that's come down through the family line. All legalistic rebellion. I bind you in Jesus' name. Rebellion, turn these people loose. Turn them loose. Turn them loose. Come out in the name of Jesus. All rebellion. Come out, rebellion, for rebellion is a sin of divination. Now bind the spirits of divination and witchcraft. Now come on out. All you witchcraft spirits, all you divination spirits, I bind you and I break your power. You leave God's people now, all familiar spirits. Go in the name of Jesus. Just go on. Get out of here in the name of Jesus. We bind the power of Jezebel now. We bind Celebi. Celebi, I speak to you and I break your power. Legalism. Extreme legalism. Celebi, I bind you and I break your power in Jesus' name. I say, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, Celebi. Come out in the name of Jesus. And I bind Savannah. Savannah in the name of Jesus Christ. I isolate Savannah now and I bind her and I break her power in Jesus' name. You Kundalima devil, I bind you and I command you to go. In the name of Jesus, and take all of your serpentine spirits will uncoil now in the name of Jesus and will come out. Oh, come out, turn loose, uncoil, come out in the name of Jesus. Come out in the name of Jesus. All you serpentine devils that are wrapped around people's backbones and legs and arms and necks and around the sinuses, come out in the name of Jesus. I bind all of you. In the name of Jesus, I loose the hornets from heaven to drive you out. Come out in Jesus' name. I bind you, all of you. Come out of there in the name of Jesus. Come out of the sinuses. Come out of their backbone. Come out of their head. Come out from behind their eyes. Come out from behind their eyes in the name of Jesus. I bind you and I break your power and command you to be gone. In the name of Jesus Christ. I break the power of the Gnostic. Come out, Gnostic spirits now in the name of Jesus. All you legalism, come out. Gnostic spirits, come out. Gnostic spirits, false burden spirits, come out. False burden spirits, come out in the name of Jesus. I bind you and I break your power in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, come out, come out. All the occult spirits, all the spirits that came in through the occult, now in the name of Jesus Christ, I bind you. All the Ouija board spirits, all the water witching spirits, come out. Come on out. Now, all divination spirits, divination, I bind you. Come out. Card-laying spirits, come out, come out, come out, all you spirits now, in the name of Jesus Christ, all you Gnostic spirits that came in through Gnostic religions, come out, transubstantiation, come out, transubstantiation, I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ, come out, all you spirits of holy relics, come out in the name of Jesus. All you necromancy spirits, come out. All you necromancy spirits, all you talisman spirits, all you amulet spirits, I bind you and I break your power and I command you to go. 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 Go in Jesus' name. Go. All of you, come out now. Come out. Come out. Leave God's people. All you spirits now. All you spirits, come out. Come out. Come out. I bind the spirits of whoredom in the name of Jesus Christ. I break its power. All the whoredom spirits, come out. All those spirits are whoring after other gods, whoring after knowledge, whoring after curiosity in the name of Jesus. I bind you and I break your power and I command you to leave. Go, go, go. Bondage, bondage now. Bondage to the past. Bondage to seeking for knowledge. Bondage for curiosity. Come out in the name of Jesus. All the bondage spirits, I break your power in the name of Jesus. I command you to leave. Leave God's people now in the name of Jesus Christ. All scorning spirits, come out. Scorning spirits, all wine-drinking spirits, mocking spirits, mine is a mocker and strong drink is a rage. Come out, all you prideful spirits, scorning spirits, all you narcissistic scorning spirits, come out, come out, come out, pride. Scorner is his name. He acts with arrogant pride. Come out of there, scorner. Scorner, I speak to you, narcissistic devil. Come out, you arrogant devil. Come out of there in the name of Jesus Christ. Always right. Come out. Come on out. Out. Don't you tear God's people. You leave them. Leave them in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. Come out. All you spirits of the card layer, of the hypnotist in the name of Jesus, of the water witch in the name of Jesus, of the palm reader, of the reflexologist in the name of the acupuncturist. Come out. The urologist. Come out. We bind all the divination spirits. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All you Lamar spirits, come out. All the spirits of yoga, relaxation, come out in the name of Jesus. Transcendental meditation, come out. You, come out. Come out. Brahma spirits, I bind the spirit of Brahma in the name of Jesus. Brahma. Brahma, I'm speaking to you. I bind you and I break your power in Jesus' name. Silvai, Kelai, spirit of fire, destruction, and murder, Kelai, come out. You seven-armed devil, I bind you, I bind all your arms. You come out in the name of Jesus. Come up out of their stomach in the name of Jesus. I break your power in Jesus' name. Go, go, go in the name of Jesus. Go, all you stubborn spirits, I bind you and I break your power in Jesus' name. Jesus was made a curse for us, so we might be delivered from the curse of the law. He bore all of our infirmity, and by his stripes we have been healed. He bore all our grief and all our sorrow. I come against headaches now. I come against all the headaches, all the migraine headaches in the name of Jesus. I break their power. Migraine headaches, I speak to you. Turn it loose now. Come out of them. Come on out. All migraine, I bind you and I break your power in Jesus' name. I come against learning disabilities, dyslexia. Come out. Won't let them learn. Come out. In the name of Jesus. Won't let them spell. Come out. Come out. Come out. Won't let them read. Come out. All the Antichrist spirits, won't let them retain knowledge. Come out. We bind all the short memory deficit disorders, all the attention deficit disorders. We bind you, all you spirits that won't let people read. We break the curse that puts you there in the name of Jesus. We speak restoration to the soul in the name of Jesus. Come on out. Come on out. All of you. All the memory loss. Come out in the name of Jesus. Come out. Come out. All dyslexia now. Attention deficit. Come out. Hyperactivity. I bind you and I break your power in the name of Jesus. I command you to leave. Leave God's people. Go. All of you, go in Jesus' name. I speak healing to God's people now. In the name of Jesus. Go on. Get out of there. In the name of Jesus. I speak health and wholeness to them. In Jesus' name. I speak to eye problems now. I bind eye problems. I bind the spirit of eye problems in the name of Jesus Christ. They have repented of dishonoring their parents in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind eye problems in the name of Jesus. All eye problems, I command them to go in the name of Jesus. Go, eye problems, in the name of Jesus. Go, go. All nearsighted, farsighted, astigmatism, ambiopia, in the name of Jesus Christ. Optic atrophy, macular degeneration, I bind you in the name of Jesus. Come on out of there. Let God's people go in the name of Jesus. Let them go in the name of Jesus. I bind thyroid problems, hearing problems. Now I bind deafness now, the deaf and dumb demon. I speak to the deaf and dumb demon. I bind you in Jesus' name. This kind comes out but by fasting and prayer. They've been fasting. You come out, you deaf and dumb demon. You can't stay. I bind you, you deaf and dumb demon. You turn them loose. Turn their ears loose so they can hear. Turn them loose in the name of Jesus. Turn their minds loose now. You can't cause muscle spasms anymore. You can't cause convulsions anymore. You can't cause epilepsy anymore in the name of Jesus. I bind you and I break your power and command you to go. 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 All the deaf and dumb spirits that won't let them hear, won't let them see, won't let them learn in the name of Jesus Christ, that they should turn and be healed. And be healed in the name of Jesus. I bind you in the name of Jesus. I bind all tinnitus. I bind all ringing in the ears. I bind all tinnitus in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind all deafness. I bind all dizziness in the name of Jesus. All vertigo. And I command them to come out. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind all thyroid problems in Jesus' name. Hypothyroid, low thyroid, no thyroid. Come out. All dry tongues, sore tongues. I bind carrier's teeth in the name of Jesus. Gingivitis, pyrrhea. I speak to gingivitis and pyrrhea and I say, be gone. I speak to carrier's teeth. Lord, I feel their teeth. Lord, put caps on their teeth, Lord God. Give them gold caps so they know you've been there, Lord. That they'll have a testimony to their dentist, Lord, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, touch your people. I thank you and I praise you and bless you and glorify you, Lord. Oh, God, touch their hearts now, Lord. I bind heart trouble, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I have heart attacks. I bind myocarditis in the name of Jesus. I bind myocardial infarction, myocarditis. I bind chronic heart failure, congestive heart failure. And I tell you to go. I speak to asthma. I speak to bronchiectasis. I speak to emphysema and I bind you and I say, be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak to gastric, esophageal gastric distress in the name of Jesus. Go! Go! Gastric ulcers, duodenal ulcers, hyperacidity. I bind you in the name of Jesus. Pleural spasm commands you to go. Excessive gas. Go in the name of Jesus. I bind colitis in the name of Jesus. Ulcerative colitis, mucoid colitis. I bind increased gas. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Crohn's disease, enteritis, be gone in the name of Jesus. Pancreatitis, diabetes, I bind you in Jesus' name. Hepatitis, cirrhosis, in the name of Jesus. I bind gallstones, and cystitis, and cholecystitis, in the name of Jesus. Cholelithiasis, I bind you all, and I break your power, and I command you to leave God's people. Go in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. I speak to hernias. I say be healed. Varicose veins. I say be healed in the name of Jesus. Go. Go. Swelling in the feet. Swelling in the joints. Swelling in the joints. Go in the name of Jesus. Go in the name of Jesus. I speak to arthritis. I bind arthritis. I pull out the root of bitterness. I say be gone, arthritis. And fibromyalgia. And in the name of Jesus Christ. Go. Go, all your diseases, go in the name of Jesus Christ. You got no right to God's people. I speak to allergies in the name of Jesus. Asthma, allergies, emphysema, eczema, go in the name of Jesus. Hay fever, go in Jesus' name. Food allergies, I bind you and I break your power. In the name of Jesus Christ, I speak healing to God's people now. Everybody hold up your hands now and just let... Oh, God, let your spirit come down, Lord God. Let your spirit come down. Let your healing grace, Lord. Heal your people, Lord. I speak healing to them. I ask you to fill them with your spirit now. Restore their souls. Fill them with your grace, Lord. Let your love flow into them now, Lord God. And we thank you and we praise you and bless you and glorify you, Lord. In Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.